Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my two favorite co-hosts, Cody Thompson. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great. One of my favorite times of the week, Pat, when we get to do these things.
I know it. I love it too. And we got Tracy Noble on. How you doing, Tracy?
Hello, I'm doing awesome.
Very good. We got our favorite engineer. Everybody's a favorite today, Matt Lencioni. He may just join in and tell us something smart. He usually does when we're in the office. So today, what are we going to talk about, Cody? What's our topic?
All right. The title is Gaslighting Really Sucks.
Now, Tracy, you wanted this title, right?
I did. It's approved. And because I actually advocated for the really sucks.
That's right. Because gaslighting is one of those things that I have to say, 10 years ago, I'd never even heard of this term. Maybe 5 years ago, people started using it a lot. And today we're always, they're gaslighting. And so we said, let's really explore this because it is one of the most dangerous things that happens in relationships and on teams. And if we misunderstand it, we probably are going to underestimate its impact, because when gaslighting is happening on one of our teams, we have to address the underlying issue because it is just that poisonous.
As you did the intro, Pat, I kind of had an idea where I was going to just tell you, no, it's not. I don't see this happening anywhere, and really try to get you riled up by doing the very thing that we're going to talk about on this podcast. But I didn't want you to swear at me on our live podcast here. So I decided rather than do that than to just say that. Because the truth is if someone had said, no, that's not happening, that's part of this. It is happening. And it's really important that we talk about it.
Right. And so let's define what gaslighting really is. And it's when someone pretends not to understand what you're saying, or they even blame you for something that's patently true, but they will not acknowledge in order to avoid responsibility and to make you feel crazy. Mm-hmm. And they know what they're doing, and it leaves the person who thinks that they're involved in a real discussion or debate or conversation wondering if they've suddenly lost their logic or their common sense, because this person they're talking to is with a straight face telling them that they're completely wrong and telling them that there's something wrong with you for believing that. This can lead to such huge feelings of insanity. You start to question whether your brain works correctly or your heart works, because they can make you feel like you're not virtuous or so dumb that you start to question your own, like I said, your own sanity.
Right. I found another definition, which I really liked. It says to undermine another person's reality by denying facts.
Oh, that's great.
You could ask the question, so why are you guys talking about this? Because this happens in society and in politics and in relationships. But we're talking about it because at the end of the day, this is a team destroyer, because it also has to do with vulnerability. I mean, this is what, like, if you're undermining someone's reality, or if there are things happening on teams that someone's undermining that reality by denying facts, this can completely wipe out the cohesion of a team or the relationship between two individuals that work together.
Yeah. And Cody, we were talking about how it happens a lot one-on-one. And by the way, let's first go back and let people know where this comes from, because the term gaslighting comes from a movie, and actually a stage play that was turned into a movie in the 1940s called Gaslight. And Cody, you explained to us beforehand, so what happened in that movie so people can get a sense of where this term comes from?
Yeah, so the pivotal scene where this word comes from is where there's two people in a house. And I don't know if they're husband and wife. I haven't actually seen it, but they read about it. And as one person causes the lights in the house to flicker on and off, and when the female says, what's happening in the house? The guy who's causing it to happen says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not happening. And so it's denying facts to undermine her reality, which in turn makes her question her own perception of what is real or not real.
Right. Now, so that is easiest to pull off one-on-one, because you could just say to somebody, hey, no, that's not true. But we were talking about before, I experienced gaslighting in a group years ago, and it's a story I've told a lot. A CEO had done a famous, very intimidating, famous, brilliant CEO had done 360 feedback. So he got his report back from his team, And it said that he didn't give people feedback very much or praise. And when he stood up against his will and read out loud the report, but when he said that, he said, it says here, I don't give enough praise or feedback. Huh. I thought I was pretty good at that. What do you guys think? And they went around the table and every person there told this famous, intimidating, and brilliant CEO that, no, actually, I think you're fine. I think you're pretty good at it. And they had data that said he was bad at it. And finally, I said to them, you guys, this is your data. So this has to be true, right? And one guy sheepishly raised his hand and said, well, yeah, I probably put that on my survey because, you know, my team never gets any feedback from you. And when they do, it's negative. And I think it would be nice if you actually gave them positive feedback sometimes. So I think that's true. And the room was really quiet. And suddenly the head lawyer goes, no, I think you're good at it. I don't think he's right. And everybody else said, I don't either. I think you're good at this. And they made that one guy feel completely out of his mind, even though there was a data set right in front of them that said this was one of the weaknesses of the CEO. The CEO stood there and let this guy just get crushed by a bunch of people denying the facts.
Right.
And so that was like one of the most egregious examples of gaslighting I've ever seen. Now, the thing to understand here is this. If you're going through, you're having a conversation and somebody is gaslighting you, whether it's one-on-one or with the team, you have to stop that conversation because it is not going to produce any fruit. Mm. When you realize that somebody would rather attack your logic or your character rather than admit that there is an issue, having that conversation is like banging your head on a wall. What you have to do there is you have to stop and address the underlying issue. And this is something we have to do on our teams all the time. And Cody, you had a great idea, a biblical one. Tell us about your idea.
Well, I think as we were preparing for this, I thought, boy, even in that scene in that house in the movie Gaslight, this happens more often than not in a one-on-one situation, which is
right.
When there's only two people in that room and you say, hey, the lights are flickering. And then one person says, no, they're not. It's just your word versus theirs. So the sort of biblical idea is that when you're having an argument that can't be resolved, you bring a third person into the conversation. And I think what that is intended to do is to level set what is real and what is not real. If you have a third leg to that stool, essentially, they serve as a little bit of a moderator to say, now, if there's two people saying the lights are flickering, okay, now we have a little bit more clear picture of what's real, and we're not questioning or undermining someone's reality or sense of sanity if you can have another person's perspective. And so I do think that there's a lot of wisdom. As you were laying this out, Pat, I think in our model, because vulnerability-based trust is the foundation of teamwork,
yep.
This is not a violation of conflict. People might think it might be a conflict idea. It's not. It's actually a vulnerability problem. It's mm-hmm. the inability to describe or admit to what is real and what's really going on. So it's not a debate about who wins. It's a level setting about what is true and not true on our teams and in our conversations.
And Cody, I would add to that, that is absolutely true, but it erodes conflict. It's so easy to say, hey, this is a conflict issue. It shuts conflict down or it makes conflict really ugly.
Right. Well, and it often attacks you. And the thing about it, it's one thing to deny something. It's another thing to actually blame the other person. Because like in the movie, he didn't just say, no, they're not. He said, I think there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what this is. That's why this is so dangerous. I think about in churches, I do a lot of work in churches. And imagine, because people think they have to be nice. And that's not, you need to be kind and loving, but you still have to be honest. And imagine that there's a person who sings in the church and they're really bad. And there's more than one church out there that's got some bad singing going on. And you go to a meeting and you say to somebody, so we got to do something about the singing because she's really not very good. And somebody says, oh, I don't think so. And I think that that's kind of cruel that you said that. And they're like, no, I mean, I don't want to be cruel. I didn't say we should go scream at her. I'm just saying that clearly the music, well, I don't think it's that bad.
Right.
So what we've done is we've said, you are wrong for engaging in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you that your opinion isn't valid. And I'm going to say, I think you have done something wrong by even raising this issue.
And fundamentally, they're saying what you're perceiving is not true or real. So in other words, like you could play that out and say, someone might say, well, hey, I think there's something, either you don't like that person or you think that you can't hear that they're singing correctly. A third person brought into that argument, like, let's go get a vocal coach and see if she's hitting the notes. Like there's a real reality here that we need to get to the bottom of. But if one person is just sitting across from you saying, actually, no, that's not true. Not only is it not true, but there's something wrong about you for bringing this up. You really need to level set what is true, what is the reality of the situation.
Right. And I think it's important to talk about this because otherwise it can sound like, well, isn't gaslighting just denying something? Well, there's a difference between in a moment of weakness going, I don't think I agree. That's people all do that. It's another thing to then take the step of saying, you have a problem because you said that.
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes this so cruel and so dangerous on a team. Because it's actually done, it sounds passive, but it's actively trying to tear somebody else down so you don't have to acknowledge an uncomfortable fact.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because you tend to think like, well, a person, you might be doing this manipulatively on purpose, which happens all the time. But also on teams, I think it happens without there being some sort of sinister intent all the time. I think that people just use this as a way of not feeling vulnerable. So if it were happening in the context of a team and someone says like, hey, you know, when you're in a meeting and you show up that way, you really like, and I don't know the exact right example, but you really hurt a lot of people's feelings in that meeting. And if they say, no, that's not true. Their feelings aren't hurt. In fact, you're probably the only one who thinks that feelings are hurt. I mean, so in other words, this is not just a sinister, I'm going to destroy a team. It's a self-preservation tactic sometimes. For people to not admit what is really going on.
And certainly we've all done it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And we look back and we can go, oh man, I was really insecure there. So maybe I went so far as to blame somebody else for my issue. But when it's when a person does it a lot and it's a trend that you're seeing on your team, the only thing worse than having the conversation about it is not, because it will destroy an organization.
Mm-hmm. And I love your story that you used at the beginning, Pat. I know you use that in the context of vulnerability in your speeches sometimes, but I love how you end that story because you said, here's all that leader had to do is say something even remotely vulnerable that is connected to reality by saying like, you know, I get this stuff. I hear this from my wife also. Like, I'm not very good at giving praise. I want to get better at that. I'm really sorry that it hurt you that way. And if all he did was just acknowledge a little bit of vulnerability and acknowledge the reality, it could have totally swung the pendulum in that entire team's culture. But instead, he's up there doubling down on the fact that we're going to deny what's real and we're going to make anyone who's trying to see what is real feel like they're crazy.
Yeah. And when you do that, the first time you deny it, you feel like, oh, now I can't go back. And you ramp up and you ramp up and you ramp up. I want to make this super practical for people listening to this. So what do you do with this? First of all, have a conversation on your team about what gaslighting actually is, because people use it incorrectly. Like, oh, they're gaslighting. And it's like, because it came from this movie and it's not really tied to exactly the word, just go back and say, we hear this all the time. Let's talk about gaslighting in the context of communication and trust. And then let's just say, hey, if we ever see it happening, let's let the other person easily go, uh-oh, I think I just did that. Let's make it so a person who's beginning the process of doing that, because everybody is tempted to blame somebody else or to accuse somebody else of something to take the pressure off themselves, and make it possible on the team to go, hey, do you think you might be gaslighting a little bit there? And have them go, yeah, it's okay to say, yeah, I think I was. I think I was. Because otherwise, when they do it, they're never going to be able to go, you know, put the car in reverse and beep, 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 and say, hey, I admit that was probably the wrong thing to do. Because if we don't understand what it is, we can't possibly avoid it and call it out when it happens and give people the permission to admit it themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that we connect it to, again, that nuance between it's not conflict, because you could, even as a user of our content, they'll be like, oh, well, we should be able to disagree. Well, what we can't be able to not disagree on is what is true. Like if we don't start with a baseline of what is true, conflict comes after our establishing a common shared reality and the vulnerability-based trust enough to say, oh, I realize I'm doing that, or I'm hurting you in that way, or I've been a purveyor of gaslighting.
Yeah. It's destructive. It is to make another person feel crazy is one of the cruelest things you can do.
Mm-hmm. And, you know what, Pat? I'm sure a lot of our listeners are hearing this and thinking, oh my gosh, my leader, you know, this is something that my leader is tempted by. How do you address it with a leader?
You know, I think the first thing you have to do is take the stigma of admitting that you've done it in the past away from them. Because if we're like, gaslighting is horrible, have you ever done it? We'd be like, oh, I obviously can't admit it. We have to say, hey, we've all done it. It's tempting at times to want to accuse somebody else of something to take. And so we all have to kind of sit around a table and go, yep, we've all done it. And then you almost have to say, hey, kudos to anybody who can come up with an example of a time they've done it. Mm-hmm. So take the stigma off of it so that leader could safely say, I can't deny that I've done it before. Now, if you have somebody who does it all the time and you don't think they're going to get out, because it is over time, it will diminish your self-esteem and your confidence and your sanity. But I don't think most people are serial gaslighters. Mm-hmm. They've just probably never had it called on them. And it is too serious to just put up with. Mm-hmm. More so than a person who's got other issues. If they resort to gaslighting, it is a very low ceiling about how much joy you're going to ever experience in that job. Mm. All righty. Okay. That's it today. Gaslighting 101. It sucks. but you're not crazy. You're not crazy when you're being gaslit, and you deserve to hear that. So we hope this is helpful. We hope this is helpful. And we always love to hear from listeners, and we're hearing a lot from listeners lately. It's wonderful. And so we appreciate you taking the time to be with us. That's all today, and God bless you all. We'll see you next time on At the Table.